7, a parable. Hopefully, if you have some notes this morning, you're taking notes in your bulletin. If you want notes, there are some notes for you. What exactly is a parable? Because we're going to use this word all summer long, the parable of this and the parable of that. There are many stories that Jesus told. A parable is a simple story intended to impact a spiritual lesson. Again, the parable is a simple story to impact a spiritual lesson. So when we're looking at the parables this morning, what we want to do is have a spiritual impact on what is a simple lesson. But the story's not simple. It's a little bit like, you ever played hide and go seek? Anybody ever played hide and go seek? And I don't know if you've ever played hide and go seek with your kids. We used to do this when they were younger. And we would hide in such a way that we wanted to be found. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like I was hiding to get away from you or I didn't like you. Actually, I wanted to be found. It was just I was hiding so that I knew that there was some interest there in finding their mom, or we would find their dad. I think a parable sort of displays that this morning. It's the Lord saying, I want you to know me. I want you to understand my ways. I am telling a story that sounds simple, but there is a deep spiritual truth inside of each message this morning. So when you look at a parable, which is about the way that the Lord is telling a story, in fact, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 34, essentially it says that Jesus did not say anything to them unless he used a parable. He was imparting into them a spiritual answer, a story. So this morning, a couple of questions you want to ask yourself when you read a parable. Number one, where is it located? Everybody say, where is it located? So that's important. In all of Scripture, you don't want to chop and put Scripture together that makes you feel comfortable or has a good story for you. So this morning, we want to know, where is that parable located in the Scripture? Number two, we want to look at it, who was present for the teaching? Was it his disciples? Was it the crowds? Was it the Pharisees or the religious leaders and the Sadducees? Again, that makes a big difference on the story, and it makes a difference on who the crowd was that Jesus was talking to. And so this morning, the third question we want to ask ourselves is, why was it given? What does this parable mean, and why was it given? So, in this scripture, this parable is found in what is called the Synoptic Gospels. Everybody say synoptic. Synoptic Gospels, synoptic means same. So in that context this morning, the same. They have, the stories are the same. And those Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You're going to see a lot of the same stories. You're going to see a lot of the same parables. You're going to see a lot of same ideas inside of those three Gospels. So this morning's passage is from Matthew 7, 24 to 27. That's what we're looking at this morning. But it is also found in the book of Luke, chapter 6, 47 through 49. You can read it later. If you want to, it's very, very similar. In fact, the wording is almost word for word the same as the book of Matthew. In this particular story, Jesus is talking to a crowd. So now we're asking our questions. Where is it located in Scripture? Matthew and Luke. Audience, who was it? It was a crowd. This particular story ends the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7 are all ideas that Jesus is presenting about the kingdom of God and what it's going to look like right here on earth. And this story ends out the entirety of the messages that Jesus has been preaching. He is preaching to an audience of disciples, of followers, of people, of all kinds of ways of life about them. And they're listening to this first message, if you would, that Jesus preaches. In the context of what we're listening to this morning is the Sermon on the Mount. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 7. And because we don't want to chop and paste this story to whatever our feelings are, or whatever you learned in Sunday school, that's just me, I want you to look at Matthew 7, but I want you to look at verse 21 to get a running start into what this morning is. It says to me, and Jesus is speaking, and again, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's scary. So there's going to be some people that will say, Lord, Lord, but not go to heaven. That's just Jesus. Not me, that's just Jesus. Keep on. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is heaven. If you're underlining this morning, underline that, because the whole rest of everything we're going to say this morning is pinned up on that. So not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven or to the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, in verse 22, it says, many will say to me, what day? Judgment, the judgment day. It says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Now he gives some examples, Jesus does. He said, did we not prophesy in your name? So there are going to be people that can give a prophetic word and speak about the future and still not know Jesus. That's a hard word. Keep on reading. So there's somebody that's going to be a prophet or prophets, and they will not know Jesus in such a way that they go to heaven. Keep on reading. It says, did we not cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And Jesus said to them, those also, so the people that can prophesy, the people who can cast out demons, the people who do mighty works in the name of the Lord. And here's what Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, before we get into the story that Jesus tells, we have to understand these couple of scriptures. Just for a moment, I want you to think about this. There is a challenging word for us that's getting ready to take place to the audience. Who was the audience? The disciples, the people that were following Jesus. There were probably some people in the crowd that knew the name of Jesus in such a way that they could get the power of the name of Jesus, but not walk in obedience to Jesus. And there is a difference. You can know the authority of the name of Jesus. You can cast out demons in the name of Jesus, but those demons are not subject to you. They are subject to who? They are subject to Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. See, the demons even understand, right? It says that. Even the demons have a way, and they know who Jesus is, and they say that. Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but who are you? So there were clearly some people that were casting out demons in the name of Jesus because they understood the authority of the name of Jesus, but they had none themselves. They were not able to prophesy. They were not able to do good works or do any of the things because they were not obedient to the name of Jesus. They simply knew the name of Jesus. There's a difference. So that means there can be a TV, let me pick just for a second. There can be a TV evangelist on TV that will do mighty works, that will say the name of Jesus, that will have an appearance of godliness. They can ask you for money, and you might give it to them, and maybe you shouldn't. That's my opinion. And they could not know the true name of Jesus. By what Jesus is saying, there could be someone that can even do an exorcism, that could pull out a demon out of a person, and not because of the name of themselves or that they know Jesus, but simply because they know the authority of Jesus, that demon could leave and they could not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Does that make sense this morning? Now that's hard. That means that there could be some people in the room this morning that know of Jesus, but do not know the reality and are obedient to Jesus. There's a difference. So you could come in and we could sing songs together, and that would be fine. But it's Jesus wants us to look at our lives and say, let me dig a little deeper into your walk with Christ. Do you know about Jesus, or do you know him in such a way that you are obedient? And this morning, that's my question. So how do you know, and if you're sitting down in the crowd this morning, how do you know if you know Jesus in such a way that gets you into heaven? How do you know that you know Jesus in such a way that your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life? And in this passage, remember, Jesus is closing out the Sermon on the Mount. He has talked about some big things. He has talked about anger. He has talked about relationships. He has talked about forgiveness. He has talked about being a salt and a light. He has talked about fasting. He has talked about living your life for kingdom purposes. And so this is the end of that message. And here is the story. Now look at verse 24. You ready? 24 is the actual parable. So this parable is connected to the three verses that I read before it. Read it. It says in verse 24, it says, everyone then, and with that then, it connects it. So he says, I just told you that there will be some people that say, Lord, Lord, but do not go to the kingdom of heaven. So then what do you do? What do I look for? Well, then this is what Jesus says in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. Everybody say does them. Now here's the context. And I think, I don't know about you, but when I'm looking at my life, I've gotten this a little bit wrong. I always thought that to build your house on the rock was to build your house on Jesus. But notice in this story that both of these houses that we're going to talk about know the truth of the scripture. They understand the word of God. They have heard the word of God. There is a separation in one fact. Look at the first house. It says this in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Everybody say wise man. What makes you wise? You build your house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Somebody say rock. We have a picture. I saw it just hit the screen of a house that was built. Now, this is a great house on the rock. I mean, if you're going to build a house on the rock, this is it. Like, you know, I mean, if you want, you know, this is heaven for me. I don't know what beaches are about, but this is a home in the rock. And I think about this, and I looked at this, and I mean, clearly it is built in the rock. Like, it's a part of the structure of the home. I don't know if Jesus had that kind of house in mind, but I sure do. And so I'm looking at it, and I see that the winds come and the hail comes and the rains come, and it says that you would be a wise man if you hear the word of God. So it's important to hear the word of God, but God holds us accountable not just to hear the word of God. What makes this man wise? Not that he built it on the rock, but that he built it on obedience. Somebody say obedience. Today's word is obedience. See, when you hear the word of God, and you could hear that from a pulpit, again, they could have just heard it on the Sermon on the Mount. They heard incredible things. They were probably thinking in their mind, but this is different. I've built my life on the Old Testament. I've built my life on the Torah, the five first books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And Jesus says, no, the kingdom of God is building your house on my words, on the truth of what I am saying to you, and not just building your house, but be obedient to what God has said. There's a difference. See, we can sit here this morning and we can listen to the word and we can walk out the doors and be the exact same way that we came in. I have no idea because I'm not the Holy Spirit. But you know who knows? The Holy Spirit. There's an accountability that we have to hear the word of God that comes from this pulpit or as you read the word. And for these guys in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, they heard these words. And they said, okay, now you've heard about anger. Now you've heard about divorce or forgiveness or those things. What are you going to do? Are you going to build your house on the rock of obedience? Or let's keep on reading. So go back to verse 25. Well, let's go back to 24 just because I love this whole story. We're going to read it again. Everyone then, it says, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock of that word, the rock of the hearing the word and being obedient to the word. Look at 26. This is the other person. And everyone who hears these words of mine, so again, assuming that everyone heard the words, and does not do them. So there's a difference. There was one who heard the word and did them. And this person is everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And again, they heard the word, but they weren't obedient to the word. So now Jesus paints a picture, a different picture. If you hear the word and you're obedient to the word, your house is built on the rock. If you hear the word this morning or at any time in your life and you're not obedient, somebody say obedient, to the word, it says that your house will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. We have a picture of this, I'm pretty sure. So we're looking at a picture of the house built on sand. We know this. We live in South Louisiana. I think that most of the time we're foolish for living in South Louisiana, but the Lord has called me here. But this is the beach house. This is you guys that love beaches so much. And so you can see the house is built. Now notice in both of the stories, the winds came, the waves came. Both of them have the same thing. Both of them have the truth of the word of God, but the difference between being a house that is built on rock and being a house that is built on sand is that one person decided to be obedient to the word and one person decided to listen to the word, understand the word, but disobey the words that Jesus had said. Keep on reading. It says this in verse 26, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell." And then Jesus adds just a little bit more to the story, and he says, "And great was the fall of it." You've ever been in a place where there was a great fall? Someone was building their house on charisma. Someone was building their house on a personality. Sometimes there will be the preachers that do this. There will be a house, and you can know they're a great people person, or they have like a great persona to them, and they walk into the door and they light up the room, but they're not really building their house on obedience. They're building their house on their charisma or their personality, or they don't really have an effective quiet time in the morning, and so they can last for a year. You can have a beach house for 2 years, but eventually a storm will come. There will be something that wrecks the house. And then it says this, Jesus says, not only did it fall, but there was a great fall that came with it. I've been in places where a man of God or a woman of God had a great fall. And you think, well, what happened? They weren't obedient. They weren't listening to the word of God year in and out and being obedient to what God had spoken. And on the outside, it's very hard to tell. It's very hard to know who's building their houses on rocks and who's building their houses on sand and who's being obedient and who's being disobedient. Keep on reading in verse 27. It says, "And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus had finished these sayings, now again, he finishes this story, but he is finishing in Matthew the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's not just finishing one little piece. He says, this is what I want to let you know. This is the last way that I'm going to end my teaching. And this is one of the only stories in the parable, in the Sermon on the Mount. And then he says in verse 28, "And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Now, a scribe was a person that would simply write down the letter of the law. So they knew the letter of the law. They knew what the law said, but this man, Jesus, came with an authority, and then he says that he had a great power to his teaching. Here's what Jesus wants us to know. Hearing Jesus' words and putting them into practice is like building your home on a solid and trustworthy foundation that can withstand life storms. Again, it's not just building your house on truth, it's building your house on obedience. Somebody say obedience. Jesus contrasts that to the dangers of ignoring his words, which he compares, if you hear my words, but then you ignore them, it's like building your life on sand. Now, this would have been a sobering, we're going back to where who he's teaching to. This would have been a sobering idea. to that people in that context. He would have had a hard time convincing the people that were listening to them because it was so different. Okay, we want the kingdom of God, but here's what I want. I don't want your sacrifice. I want your obedience. In fact, the prophets in the Old Testament even wrote that, and they said to be obedient is better than sacrifice. Jesus wants us to put into practice the words of God. Now, James, we have the scripture on the screen. It's also in your notes this morning. James in chapter 1 starts off his book in the same way. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everybody say, do what it says. So there's a difference this morning again, and you see that. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. Now, James gives a little story. He says, you look in the face of the mirror, and after looking at yourself, you go away and immediately forgot what he looks like. Whatever who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. Everybody say continues in it. See, you can hear a word. You could have a word spoken over to you by Brother Andrew Eastman. You could have had a word given by Brother Freddie Fry. You could have heard a word last week about walking in victory, thriving and not surviving. But if you don't continue in it, you're not being obedient to the word that God gave you. And I think we all find ourselves guilty. I know I do. I have a terrible memory. Like, I have to write it down. I have to journal. I have to put some things into practice. I have to think on it. In fact, when I read the word of God in the morning, a lot of times by like 9 o'clock and I've dropped kids off to school and life has been crazy and they've had 20,000 things, I have forgotten the exact word that I read in the morning. What do? I try to put that back into my memory. Lord, help me to continue in it. That's what James says. Keep on reading in the book of James. He says, but not whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it. Everybody say doing it. They will be blessed in all they do. So it's easy to see yourself in the picture of the world, in view of the world. Of what the world, well, I'm not as bad as this person. I don't look like so. I haven't done this big thing. I haven't talked about this person or this problem. And so you look at yourself in the eyes of the world, and yet Jesus wants you to look at the Word of God and compare your life to what the Word of God was saying, specifically in the Sermon on the Mount. He says to look at that and to hold on to that truth, and he says to practice what you have learned. Your dedication this morning is shown in your willingness to walk in the light that you have received. Jesus elaborates it in this short story. It's easy to make the mistake that doing a bunch of work for Christ will get you into heaven. It is easy to make the mistake, if maybe I'm being blessed, that would make me go to Jesus. But the truth is that our ministry or our walk or all those things are not as important as obedience. Jesus wanted his listeners to understand the principle that a true follower of Jesus is one who lives in simple obedience. You don't need an outcome. You don't need to have a great this or that. All Jesus says is, I want you to be obedient. You don't listen to Jesus' word, but you put them into practice. Maybe not perfectly, but consistently. In fact, Jesus says it in John 14, in verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commands. And that's what he means. He invites us this morning to follow him. The end. And the story's over. The parable's over. And that's it. It's this sort of like, you hear this story, you hear this idea, you hear this idea that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus tells a story to help us better understand it. And if you're reading through Matthew chapter 8, Jesus goes and heals a leper. Like, just immediately, he just leaves that and he's going on to the next thing. So as students of the Word of God this morning, as asking the Lord, that story is finished. Actually, the entirety of the sermon is finished. And then Jesus just asks us to think on it, to look at it. Look at your life this morning. Are you the house built in a rock of obedience? Or are you the sand that you say, yes, 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 I'll change my ways, change my ways, change my ways. But then you're always back at the same place of your life. You have heard the word this morning. Are you putting it into practice? Simple question for you this morning is, which house are you? Where are you building? Are you building in obedience, or are you building in disobedience? Can we play a song, just a piece right there? I want to offer you an end story, and then we'll just pray. This week, I've just been contemplating so many areas of my life that I walk in disobedience. You never have the Holy Spirit say, do this, or don't go off on that person, or walk in forgiveness. I don't know. Maybe the Lord asked you to fast. We're fasting tomorrow for Vacation Bible. Well, Tuesday, because tomorrow's Memorial Day. Maybe the Lord has asked you to read the Word. Maybe like in Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord gives a prayer and he says, start praying for kingdom purposes. Maybe you struggle with anger or lust. Maybe you struggle with retaliation. You always got to get yours. Or forgiveness. That's what the Lord has spoken on all these different things. And then he says, okay, now ask yourself the simple question. Are you walking in obedience? And I don't know if you have kids, but I have kids. And I have kids that are still of age that they walk in disobedience. And I'm not picking on any one of mine by any means. But you ever have one kid that just like tells you they're sorry over and over and over again, and they go back and do the same thing? And it could be like whatever, you know, like I don't know what, you know, your situation in your particular house. And you'll be like so exhausted because they keep on saying the same, I'm going to change, I'm so sorry, it's not going to happen again, it's not going to happen again. I think sometimes we look at our relationship with the Lord, oh, God got that. It's okay. I'm just going to keep on bringing that anger. It's okay that I brought that into the house of the Lord. Or I'm keep on bringing that retaliation or that unforgiveness. I'm not going to walk in obedience to the word of God because God got me. And Jesus paid a price on the cross, and that's true. But then he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is entering to the kingdom of heaven. He says, those who do what I say. Because we have to be a people. The world doesn't need a whole bunch of us going back into the world and not doing what Jesus says. They're tired of that. It's tiring. It's exhausting. What the world needs to see is a bunch of people who hear and listen to the word of God and act differently. They act according to the principles of the scripture. They walk in forgiveness. They don't get retaliation. They turn away from anger, from lust. They begin to fast. They're putting the kingdom of God above the kingdom of man. That's what the world needs to see. He needs us to walk in obedience to his name. So this morning, I can imagine the Holy Spirit has said to you at least one thing. I know I've been contemplating this all week. The Lord has been speaking to me, saying, Tara, walk in obedience to Christ in every area, not just the ones you like to. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? With every head bowed and eye closed. If there's one person or two, this past Wednesday, the Lord just saved someone so dramatically in our youth group. It was just amazing. Like the Holy Spirit fell and just surrendered her life to Christ. And I wonder again if this Sunday morning there is someone in the room that you've been attending or you know a little bit, but you have never walked in obedience. Maybe you've heard about Jesus or you're interested and you're just thinking through these things, and the Lord would say to you, Jesus would say the same thing he said at the Sermon on the Mount, come and follow me. Be obedient to the word of God. Quit playing around in disobedience. You know, the reason why I want my kids to be obedient is not because I hate them, it's because I love them. And I want the best for their lives. I really sincerely do. I want what the purposes and plans to be fulfilled in their lives that God has for them. And so that's the same as the Lord. He's just saying this morning, just walk in obedience. And if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you for walking in disobedience, today is your moment where you say, I understand that Jesus paid the price for my life. I understand that he went to the cross and died for my sins. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Don't look at me. And you say, hey, that's me this morning. I need salvation. I need to know that when I call on the name of the Lord, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I need to know that. Is there anybody in the room? Anybody in the room that says, I need Jesus. I need to walk in his plans and his ways. Is there anybody that would say that? In the name of Jesus. I see you. Anybody else? To walk in obedience. If that's you with your hand lifted, would you just pray with me? Just say, dear Lord, my hand is lifted. And I want to walk in obedience this morning. Give me your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life. Be the Lord, be the Savior, and save me. I want to be born again. Help me to walk in obedience. For the rest of us in the room, is there that one thing that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has spoken to you this morning? Can you just do this? Can you lift your hands and surrender as well? I don't know what that is, but if I feel like the Lord has said, there's one thing that you need to walk in obedience. There's something. Would you just lift your hand as a sign of surrender? You know, sometimes it's hard to be obedient without the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, it's so hard to be obedient without. You can have good intentions, and you can walk out the door and be like, but I messed up again. I don't know about you. I've done that so many times. But this morning, if you need the help of the Holy Spirit to help you to be obedient to what God has spoken into your life, maybe it's you walk out of this building this morning, you go forgive somebody. Maybe it's you just learn to shut your mouth and quit gossiping. Maybe it's you saying, okay, Lord, I know that you have this calling on my life. I want to be obedient. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. And if that's you this morning and you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient in a certain area of your life so that you can build your house on the rock, and when storms come and waves come, you're just standing there because you know how to be obedient. You know how to walk in the truth of God's scripture. If that's you, would you lift your hands and let's just pray together. Dear God, our hands are lifted. God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit this morning to help us to be obedient in this area. God, whatever it is that our hands are lifted, we surrender that over to Jesus Christ. God, we don't want to be a people that say, Lord, Lord, and you don't know us. God, we want to be a people this morning that walk in obedience to the truth of the Word of God. God, we want to be a people this morning that build our houses on the solid rock. And God, when the waves come and the winds come and the storms come, God, that we will be consistent in following you 10 years, 20 years, until our last breath, Lord Jesus. Until we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. God, we don't want to be wishy-washy. We don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, I need to fix that. And then we just forget. Lord, we want to be a people that say, fix me. Help me to walk in obedience. Help us, God, to walk in obedience in our lives so that the world will see something different. Not a people that say, but a people that do. God, be with us as we walk out these doors. Help us to think on this word. God, this week, help us to think on this word like they would do in the scriptures, where they would meditate on it day and night. God, help us to think about it and evaluate our lives according to the word of God. This morning, we are yours. We walk out these doors confident in the name of Jesus. God, we give you all the praise and glory. And everybody said, amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to walk in obedience in Jesus' name. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. Join us next Sunday for parables. And again, if you have any VBS equipment, we will take anything that you're willing to give us. Drop it off at the church Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday in Jesus' name.